Hello, hello. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beneath Vancouver Radio. Hopefully you're having a wonderful day, evening, wherever, whenever you are tuning into today's episode. And this is episode number 59 of Beneath Vancouver Radio. And in today's episode, I'm here with Maya. Maya, how are you doing today?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. It's a little gloomy on the day of this recording. It's June. It's almost mid-June. And I think I've seen less sun in the month of June than I did in like the last 2 months. So if this isn't any indication as to how the rest of the summer is going to be, I'm going to be very, very sad. But
I know. I really hope not. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Exactly. But yeah, a little bit gloomy today on this Sunday morning. But I know that this episode will definitely kickstart my day a little bit here. So I'm going to jump right into it and start the episode as I've done for pretty much every other episode and ask you Maya the question, who are you today?
So I run a business, Second Life Apparel, which reworks thrift clothing, and also I use fabric scraps to create new styles. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the big thing that I've been working on for a couple of years. And I also work in fashion manufacturing full time. So that I do basically like pattern work for clients and so on. So that's what I'm up to.
Nice, nice, nice. Now let's talk a little bit about the origin story in terms of the fashion and how you kind of got involved with that. Was that something always you were interested growing up? Was it something that you kind of fell into? Or give us a little bit of a backstory as to your introduction to the fashion world.
Yeah, so it's something that I've always been interested in. I started thrifting as early as, I've always had thrift clothing as a child, because that's kind of all that my parents could afford at the time. So that's always been something that was really big in my life. In terms of me being into fashion, I would say I was probably about 10 where I started like drawing clothing and designing things. And then, from there, when I was like 13, then that's when I started going to the thrift store a lot on my own. And because, there's like fast fashion at the mall, but I never really found that I loved stuff that I was finding there. Mm-hmm. So I always found it more fun to just go to the thrift store and find new things and then kind of rework things. And then that's when I started doing that stuff and helping friends. And then, and then I thought, okay, I want to run my own business. So this is a great way to incorporate what I've always done, love doing, and apply it to, what I'm doing now.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's funny that you kind of bring up like you used to go thrifting, or you still do, but you started like what people would consider like at a young age. But now it's almost like it's flipped around. Thrifting back then was not, in or mainstream, but now it's like the cool thing to do. Like, thrifting is now kind of more, you should go thrifting and stuff like that. Obviously, aside for the sustainability side of things, and people are a little bit more aware of, as you mentioned, like fast fashion and stuff like that and the impacts that has in the environment. But now it's almost like, it's like the cool thing to do now. And sort of, so it's funny how that works. Like back then it wasn't maybe as popular, but now it's kind of fit into that mainstream section. So in terms of like Second Life Apparel and kind of how that started, you mentioned a little bit, it was a kind of bridging the gap of, your interests and what you liked and what you enjoyed doing, but how do you actually turn that kind of into a business idea? And, at one point did you say, I'm actually going to create this into a business instead of maybe just like a hobby like that?
So I finished my degree in fashion design and technology. So that was a 4-year program. And then after that, I was just kind of working random jobs and traveling a lot and so on. And then after all that, getting into a full-time job, I wanted to basically have a business and more into fashion, but then I also really wanted to have a business that had some kind of impact.
Right.
So for me, that was an environment thing, because I've always been into like sustainable efforts and just more, I guess, the course that I took at the end of my degree, which was basically like ethics in fashion and so on. That was a course that was probably one of my favorites, actually, that really touched on a lot of things about basically talk about like fast fashion and how that clothing is made and really digging in deep on like different issues like political and like environment in other countries. And since I'm really big on traveling, that's also a big reason why I was so into that as well, right. Just kind of knowing about world issues involving fashion. So that all being said, yeah, like that's how I kind of was super interested in building this brand in that kind of way, was to basically with a movement of like that we need to change how the fashion industry is and to have more options that are sustainable. Of course, there are a lot of brands that are sustainable and so on, but just, yeah, you know, kind of putting that word out there.
Yeah. I mean, how do you kind of, you know, differentiate yourself a little bit, because I'm personally, mm-hmm. you know, not that into, or not, I shouldn't say not that into, but I'm not as well versed in like the fashion space. Mm-hmm. I know a couple of local, obviously, brands. We've had a couple here in Vancouver on the show as well. But how do you kind of differentiate yourself? Because I know for a lot of local brands, mm-hmm. their focus as well is to, you know, promote sustainability, you know, doing mm-hmm. everything local and creating the garments locally as well. So how do you kind of, mm-hmm. put your story behind that as to saying, like, you know, where even though everyone's arguably in the same path and doing it for the similar reasons, how mm-hmm. do you attract people to your brand as opposed to maybe someone else or something like that?
So the way, yeah, I guess kind of my thing more with this brand is that I'm trying to show transparency. Mm-hmm. So essentially, if you go on my website, then you'll see I show the garment, how it is now and how it's been reworked. And then I show how it was made, like pre what it looked like before. Right, so there's a before and after photo. So that's a big thing. And then as well, yeah, just I've been making a little bit more content on how I've been reworking pieces and so on. So that's like on TikTok, I have some of those things, or just even showing tips on like how to, I don't know, like stitch a rip in pants or remove shoulder pads and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like also, even though it's like, yes, I want to, you know, build this brand, but I also want to like build a community of people who are interested in these kind of things. And right. so I think even just showing these little tips on like how you can fix clothing you find at thrift stores, or, you know, something maybe your mom or your grandma had or grandpa or whoever, mm-hmm. and just being able to do these little things for yourself and keep these clothing, like, yeah, instead of throwing them out.
Yeah. And I like how you brought up the aspect of community, right? And I think that's mm-hmm. something that every brand right now is focusing to do. And there's obviously mm-hmm. for the last couple of years now, there's a growing increase in like smaller businesses and brands being created and people with ideas who are, you know, wanting to create something from nothing. Right. So having the ability mm-hmm. to bring people together for similar interests and be like, you know, you might not be where I am at in terms of like knowledge in the fashion space, but this is where I'm helping you learn more about, you know, making the right choices for your clothing or understanding where your clothing comes from, or how we, you know, at Second Life do this and do that. So I think that's important mm-hmm. in bridging again that relationship with between customer or even community and the brand as well. Not a lot of yes, people are doing totally. That effectively, I will say, unfortunately, but that's a topic for a different story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you say for someone who's tuning in and maybe has absolutely zero idea or zero background in terms of the Vancouver, I would say, fashion space or fashion scene, however you want mm-hmm. to word it, what would you say is something that we're doing well or something that potentially we could work on, that from what your experience has been mm-hmm. being involved in it with for the last, you know, couple of years now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have found like with starting this business, I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, events and things, of course, before COVID, mm-hmm. Where, yeah, you can definitely meet with like entrepreneurs or other creatives that are doing, you know, running their own business and so on. So I think in terms of community, like, yeah, things are going like great in that kind of department.
Right.
But I guess the other side is, and I mean, this is totally not a negative thing at all, but yeah, there are a lot of people that are starting up brands. Like, it's actually really crazy. And I only really know this because of my full-time job working in fashion manufacturing here. Mm-hmm. Because basically a lot of new customers will come to the business and then they'll say, I want to manufacture, you know, this and that. And then you just see the diverse amount of people wanting to like create clothing and so on. And it's like, it's great. They're doing it in a sustainable way because of course they're in a manufacturer in Vancouver and so on. But yeah, it's just like crazy the amount of, I guess, like in a way competition there is for other brands or like brands doing similar things and so on.
Right.
So yeah, it's just a crazy thing. So it's like, I mean, if someone wants to do their own brand, like I highly encourage it, but like, I guess to know that like, it's very competitive. Mm-hmm. Like everyone's, you know, trying to make stuff and yeah, just like knowing that as a reality with running a business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in general in Vancouver, it's obviously this podcast highlights the creatives, entrepreneurs, business owners of the city and, you know, surrounding mm-hmm. cities. And that there's one thing that I've noticed is obviously it's at least from my perspective or for my kind of use, it's great because there's so many people, right? So I feel like this yeah. podcast is never going to run out of people to talk to. But no, on the other side of the coin, you know, we've had different videographers, we've had different photographers, mm-hmm. people in the fashion space, mm-hmm. other creatives in general, business owners in similar industries. So I think it's important to, yeah, as you mentioned, realize that at the end of the day, there's obviously these people are, you know, sharing the market share or taking market share. Mm-hmm. But I think at the same time, and one thing that I hope to continue to see as, you know, we go back to events in a post-COVID world is mm-hmm. that, at least from my experience, and maybe you can mm-hmm. share a little bit more, is everyone is really supportive and will yeah. push you up and even support you, even if you're in the same industry. I remember when I first started doing photography and videography, mm-hmm. Just like freelancing a couple of years ago and learning. And I went to a couple of like networking events and there was video photographers and videographers there. And I would ask them questions mm-hmm. and they would, cause I'd bring my camera and then I would, you know, look at their camera. I'm like, whoa, that's like, you know, a pretty high end setup. And I'd ask them like how much yeah. there was, what's the lens, trying to absorb as much mm-hmm. information as I could. And these people like, even though hypothetically I could be, you know, quote unquote, stealing their gigs down the road or not stealing, mm-hmm. but, you know, taking some of their jobs down the road, they were yeah. they're just supportive and
the
that's
people,
not.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. They don't have that mentality. So that's something mm-hmm. that I've noticed in Vancouver is we're trying to win together, right? Everyone's here trying to
yes.
succeed together. As the saying goes, get the bag together, right? That's what the
cool kids think, right? Yeah, that's it. I see the exact same thing too. And I think it's really great. Like, yeah, I totally know what you mean with like the photography video community and, you know, everyone's super supportive of like, mm-hmm. oh, how do you do this and this? And then same with fashion too. I mean, I know a few brands like of coworkers of mine and just like other people doing clothing stuff. And we're always supporting each other with like, oh yeah, you want to help with like a photo shoot thing? Yeah, like I'll help yeah. you out and like we'll work together and stuff. And like, yeah, the thing with running the business though is like you just have to love the process of it.
Of course.
That's what it comes down to. Like, of course, you know, with your industry doing video stuff and podcasts, like I'm sure you love doing this and like,
yeah, that's why would not be it, episode 59 if I yeah. hated talking to people. Yeah,
no, absolutely. And doing a podcast for sure. Here.
No,
yeah, for sure.
It's knowing your why as well and understanding that. And mm-hmm. it's all, yeah, it's loving the process and coming together. So speaking mm-hmm. about, because I did a little bit of my, you know, pre-recording homework or research or however you want to call it. And you actually worked with Dylan from Brigade Apparel. Did a photo shoot with him. How did you kind of, because he's actually on the podcast. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's been over a year ago now.
I think it's been over a year now. Yeah, I think it was early pandemic last year he was on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, how did you kind of, did you know him previously? How did you kind of get to know him? Was it sort of similar to your stories right now? Like people within the industry kind of know each other. And how was that experience?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's exactly it. He's such a big, you know, community guy. And mm-hmm. so he actually, I guess, found my brand on Instagram and reached out and was, and this was like when I had just launched a little bit more than a year ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just like showing support. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. Like, I love that. So then, I found out he was running his own brand thing too. And we're having a look at that. And, you know, so here and there, we've just been talking and chatting about fashion industry stuff more on like manufacturing and how mm-hmm. that process looks like. So yeah, because he was looking into that, and just yeah, and then he had his photo shoot thing for his launch. So then he asked about me modeling for that and so on. And I really loved like what he was doing with the brand and his whole concept. So yeah, it felt like very aligned for me. So I was like, yeah, for sure, you know, like I'm down to do a shoot and always help out. And yeah, and that's the thing that I love. Like I actually really admire people who just, you know, reach out and just kind of like share like love and support in a way and not, you know, respect anything in return. And I'm just like, ah, oh, I just like love that because it's like something that I feel myself, I've never like been really good at the whole like social media thing, like if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah, no, like, thank you.
But yeah, but you know, it's like something that I love people, but I'm definitely more of like a human to human connector. So like for me to do it on social media feels like it's a bit different, but I know like when you're growing business, like, you know, you have to like talk to people online and stuff. And like, I love doing that, but especially now. Just like such a face-to-face person. I know. So, yeah, but I don't know. I just think that's great what he's doing.
No, exactly. And I think the funny part about it is that in reality is you'd never know as well, like aside from obviously the work that you're doing in the community that you're building, is that community building when itself opens doors for you that you might not have expected to have been open in general, right? Or just chatting with someone, helping them out, and then, you know, staying in contact with them. And then down the road, you know, they might have an opportunity and then they think of you because you helped them out. And it's almost like the unfortunate part of networking sometimes, from what I've seen also firsthand experience, is that some individuals expect what I call like the instant gratification. So they expect, you know, you're at a networking event, you're like looking for either a job or, you know, an opportunity or whatever the case might be. And a lot of times people think like, okay, you can't offer me what I want right away. I'm going to kind of almost like toss you aside, right? Like Andy did with Toy Story, like toss the toys away, right? I might be aging myself there, but hopefully people know Toy Story.
No, I know exactly. Like, probably born in that time of.
Exactly. Yeah. But the point that I'm trying to get across is that sometimes that individual might not give you again what you're looking for right away, but you know, a year, 2 years down the road, you got to nurture the relationship and nurture that and from there being able to see like, oh, you know what, you know, Aaron, I actually know someone who's, you know, looking for a videographer. I'll link you up with them. So I think that's kind of the dark side, if you will, of networking and going to events, is sometimes people do expect certain things right away. And then, you know, you'll say your highs and then we'll stay in touch, and that never actually happens. But I think that's also what differentiates the genuine people, or the people who are looking for that, you know, genuine, authentic relationship or connection or whatever with the people who are, might be there for different intentions, which again are totally valid, but it's kind of playing a different ballpark at that game. So
That's exactly it. It's like, people will have different kind of mindsets of what they're wanting when they're going to an event and so on. Like, of course, there's the kind of people where it's like, okay, this is business. And like, you know, they're so focused on that. And then there's some where it's like more, you know, with community and just kind of like nurturing relationships and like, you know, just like patience with that. So.
Exactly. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit and talk more on the creative side of things. And obviously in your case, you're getting garments, using them and transforming them, I guess is the best way to say it, into obviously these unique pieces or different pieces. Where do you kind of get your inspiration from, and how do you, I just asked someone recently about their experience with like creative blocks, and she is a designer. So obviously if she's got a creative block, it's a little bit hard for her to do her work. And similar case with you, if you have a creative block, obviously you can't really transform these garments and create a unique piece. So I guess it's a two-part question here, a double whammy. Question one will be, where do you get your inspiration from, and like who inspires you? And then question two is kind of the aspect of, you know, what do you do when you are in a creative slump and you can't really, you know, get the juices flowing?
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like throughout the couple of years running this business, I've definitely been through that and figuring out like the best way to go about, you know, sourcing or getting clothing that I'm like finding at thrift stores to rework. Right. I do find that I use Pinterest a lot actually, because sometimes if you go so far down the rabbit hole within Pinterest, you can find some really cool out there things where it's like, oh my gosh, like if I were to rework something like this, like there's, I don't know, like 50 chains hanging off this garment. It's like, whoa, that's crazy. Like, you know, there's definitely a specific market who would be wearing something like that, but just like even toning that down and taking inspiration from that, like as a whole, and then kind of morphing it into something that's a little bit more for a market that you could wear on like a day to day and so on.
Right.
So just, yeah, taking inspiration from that. And then also I watch a lot of like throwback R&B music videos, which gives me a lot of inspiration. Because I'm more like, it's the brand's more reworking streetwear like in a throwback style. So just watching a ton of like music videos too. And I've definitely, don't feel like I've left that era. So that's why.
That's good.
But yeah, it seems to be all coming back. So just like that would be inspiration. And then kind of like where I get stuck is actually more on a technical standpoint. It's like with the construction of the garment. So say like I find this really nice jacket or pants or something like that, and the way they've constructed it, it's like very technical or so on. So then sometimes it's actually really hard to rework these things, like especially jackets. I find like I've always thought about like, oh, maybe I'll launch a fall winter kind of like rework thing, but then it's like actually so hard to rework jackets and so on. Like you can do it for sure, but it's definitely like a lot more difficult than like a top or like you know, something else like a skirt and shorts and stuff. So
yeah,
it's definitely, I think that, yeah, like if I wasn't working full time and I had all this time, like I'd definitely dive into that. But yeah, that might be a thing for another day.
Oh yeah. And it's also like the, and you mentioned earlier, like falling in love with the process, but I think as well as like when you go through those rough, or I don't want even, well, rough patches, I guess, or more difficult times than maybe, you know, as you mentioned, a t-shirt or a skirt or whatever. And from there, being able to, at the end of the day, see the finished product of like, wow, you know, I was actually able to take this and turn it into, you know, what else, something else completely different and something unique. And I think that's when you even fall deeper into what you, into again, the process and the aspect of creating. And I think in general, like for all creatives, we have like this sort, regardless of whatever creative work you're doing, it's, we're fulfilling an internal need, sort of we want to create something, right? Whether it's a shirt, a photo, a video, a podcast, whatever the case might be, at the end of the day, that creative piece of art is a form of expression, right? You're expressing yourself, your interests, who you are as a person, your personality. And I think for me, that's also why I love what I do, is because it's a way for me to express myself, to show my extroverted side. I, you know, I can't talk to as many people as I'd like to in person anymore. So you know, now I got to do these remote.
One day.
Yeah. I'm hoping that we can go back to in-person recordings, but yeah, I think that's the beauty of being a creative, right? And again, that it can, that can fall into so many different areas of work and art and stuff like that. So that's
absolutely,
that's the best part. Where do you kind of see this might be a bit of a loaded question, but maybe you might have this already in like a vision board or something like that in your 10-year Maya plan. Where do you kind of see Second Life kind of going, or where do you hope for it to be, and any kind of milestones that you want to achieve, you know, in the foreseeable future?
For sure. So it's actually interesting you ask this question, because this is something I always, when in the process, I kind of forget kind of what my big goal is. But of course, like with growing the brand, like I would love to, you know, include like a more of a size range, and also menswear down the line. And, but I mean, in all with this kind of thing, I think my big, big vision, like whenever this may happen, I could be 50 and that's totally fine with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Is I would love to go to conferences around the world internationally and talk about sustainability and what that looks like in fashion. Like, I would just love to be an advocate for that. So it's like, even though I'm working on this brand to kind of like grow it, and it's like I'm reworking clothing and so on, but I really, yeah, this is kind of like my bigger vision of what I would like to see happen. And I don't know, I just think that would be something that, I don't know, it just has a lot of meaning for me. And I think, you know, the way to do this is exactly like building community and just showing people like how to do these reworks and not look at it as so much like a business thing of like, oh, I can't tell you my business secrets or whatnot.
Yeah, insider, like, insider secrets. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, no, it's not at all about that. It's really that I want other people to, you know, be interested in these kind of things. And like, you know, I would love to maybe eventually like host like sewing classes and so on like how to rework things. And so, yeah, I don't know. These are kind of like some things that were kind of in my mind while like growing the business, and yeah, just like the big goal at the end.
No, I like that. And when you do your TED talk and, you know, are in those big conferences, just remember you were on the Beneath Vancouver Radio podcast.
Of course.
Maybe give a little shout out.
I'll have to give you a mention. Yes, of course. Why would I not?
I'll be in the audience and I'll be like, yeah, she was on my podcast. No, that's awesome. And it's good to have those, you know, what are they called? Hags or bags or big audacious goals. I don't know how the saying goes, big audacious goals or something like that. Big hairy audacious goals. I'm probably butchering that, but it's important to have that. Because I think, as you mentioned as well, and I like how you said, it doesn't matter even if you're like 50 when that it happens, is even at that point, you're still achieving a point that you want in your life. And 50, you're still,
exactly,
you know, technically young, right? So so that's, I think, the important part. And you're doing, again, what you love and sharing the love. And I think even just from hearing you, and I'm sure the listeners can attest to this as well, is I can already tell how passionate you are about this topic and about this industry. So I have no doubt that, you know, in due time, you'll be able to achieve that. And I think as well, hosting classes and stuff like that is actually a great idea, because there's probably a bunch of people out there that are in similar shoes or have, you know, similar interests as you, and want to, you know, create their, maybe not even as a business, but just even more like on a personal thing, just create their own little garments and transform pieces and create things from scratch and just take it from there. So it's good back. Yeah. It's important to give back to the community in that aspect. Nice. Okay. I'm going to ask the second to last question here. I just thought about this. Okay. And in terms of kind of, we've talked about where you've started, kind of where you're at right now, and also kind of in the middle. But one thing that I haven't brought up and I want to ask you is, in terms of like the actual biggest obstacle that you've kind of went through. I know you said more on the technical side of things is an aspect of that, but from the top of your head, like a moment in mind that kind of made you second guess yourself, and you were kind of thinking like, is this actually worth the time, the effort, the money, et cetera. Was there ever a moment in time of that happened? And if so, what kind of pushed you to kind of go over that?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. And I mean, it comes from such an emotional place. And I know every creative goes through this, where it's like, you almost feel like, oh, I want to give up. Like, this is so hard. And like, I feel people that don't, you know, run a business or like are doing their own creative thing, they're like, oh, they're not going to get it. So it's like nice to talk to people that like are doing the same thing, because everyone has their struggle. It's just reality, it's how it is. So yes, I'll tell you exactly what has happened. So yeah, basically I feel like, because it's hard to manage everything yourself, right? Because then you go through these dilemmas of, okay, should I hire someone part-time to help me do this, or should I just try to figure this out by myself, because I kind of like love learning the process of just doing everything. But I think, like, basically when you have set expectations for yourself of like, okay, I think this is going to happen, and then it doesn't happen, that's literally the worst thing that you can do. And I feel like I've learned that the hard way. Like, I've been through those kind of things when I'm like, you know, launching new product things, or I'm just like, oh, this piece is really cool, I think people will like it. And it's just like, oh, okay. I mean, it was just kind of like whatever for others. And I'm like, okay, cool. So it's like, you can't get too, I guess, attached to your work or what you're doing. So that's why it's like, I say, like, loving the whole process. Like, you just have to, otherwise it's like, you know, you're going to get caught up in every single little thing, and you just can't have these high expectations for yourself of, you know, what you're going to expect to happen. Like, sure, of course, create your goals and be like, you know, I would love this to happen. But like, you know, in terms of setting a deadline or something for that to happen, it's like, if you're going to do it, just don't beat yourself up over it ever. Mm-hmm. And like, I think, and also, I think this is really a healthy thing to practice, like, for other entrepreneurs and creatives, is like, if you get stuck, literally just take a break, like take a week off, like don't, you know, work on your stuff. And like, I mean, I was talking to my roommate, Travis, who's a musician. So he's been on the grind for like 10 years with his music stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe you want him on your podcast. We can talk about that.
Talk about that.
But yeah, like, he has been just like doing this for like 10 years. He's been grinding. And so it's nice to just come home and like talk to him and be like, oh man, I'm in such a rut. And like, you know, and he had said, this is something he had told me, which really resonated with me. He had said, like, your work will always be your work and it'll always be there. So if you need to take a break, it'll still be there and you can just rethink like what you're going to do with that. And so I literally took a week off and I came back and then I was like, hey, this is my plan. This is what I'm going to do. Like, and so, yeah, I think all of that's totally okay.
Yeah. Taking a step back when you need to is something that's, at least from my opinion, sometimes easier said than done, because you're so into the work as well that you're like, it's a bit of a paradox. It's like, you're, you want to take a step back because you don't want to do any of the work, or not that you don't want to do any of the work, because you're maybe overwhelmed or you need a break. But then on the other side is when you're on the break, you feel like you're not doing enough work, so that you're just going to be
always. Back.
So it's just kind of like, ah.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know. It's like you say, like, okay, I'm going to take a break, but then you kind of like work on things a little bit.
It's a bit of
I totally get it.
You're consistently drowning sometimes. And some people don't see that aspect of, you know, creative work or entrepreneurship in general is you yourself as, you know, the business owner or as the person behind the creative work, you're the only one that's going to be able to push the business or the idea forward, right? At the end of the day, you're the one who's got to, you know, edit the video, edit the podcast, create a piece of art, et cetera. And if you're not doing the work because you're, you know, you need a break, is like, now you feel internally bad because you're not actually doing the work. So yeah, it's weird. And it's something that I think is a work in progress. Again, for me, myself, I've started to get a little
How
bit better.
For you?
it was pretty bad, if I'm being honest, like during the beginning of the pandemic, because it was kind of, it was a complete switch of my lifestyle. Like I'd be out and about, cafes, events, meetings for school as well on campus. So going to just that, to not being able to leave the house at all, was just kind of like, it's like that John Travolta meme where I'm just kind of like looking around and I'm like, I'm not too sure what I do here. And so I wanted to continue, you know, the work ethic, but it just wasn't there. And so I took a break, but then I felt bad for not doing the work ethic. And then whenever I tried to get into the work, it wasn't as good as my previous work because I was in like the slump. So it was just kind of like this back and forth juggle of like, should I do the work? Should I not do the work? Should I do the work? I don't want to do the work. And that was pretty much the first 2 to 3 months. And they got a little bit better. I think now though, it's gotten to the point where I have a little bit of a system / schedule on certain days. I tackle certain things. I have days off.
That's good.
Well, I think there's this notion of like, you got to work, you know, 24/7, 7 days a week, 365. And I definitely had that mentality, like, not even like I would say in the last 6 months, but I think at the beginning of 2021, I should say, it got a little bit better as to like, you know, on Sundays, I'll maybe only have a recording and that's it. I'll just kind of chill out, do some less intensive work, maybe just like watch a video on something that I want to learn, but nothing too crazy where I'm, you know, into 9-10 hour work sessions. So just taking that break, I think, is important. But yeah, it's you're always constantly fighting against yourself. It's like you're going up the hill and then you're like, you want to go, you're tired of holding onto the ropes. You're going to maybe let go a little bit, but then you want to keep climbing them. So it's just kind of, you'll never kind of You're either stopping you're or like, you're oh, going.
That's, yeah, totally and, understand.
Yeah. And I'm sure our listeners as well, like, and I think that goes with other aspects as well, not even just like from the creative side of things, but even if you're like a mm-hmm. student, there's an overlap of that sentiment as well and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure some of our listeners can relate to that. So
yeah, unfortunately, absolutely.
We are nearing the end of the episode. It always baffles me. I'm almost 60 episodes in and I keep forgetting how quick
that's so crazy. Damn
episodes go. I was just like, yeah. It's already like 30, 40 minutes. I'm like, oh my gosh. But as the ending goes now here, and it's been a tradition that I will probably continue unless my listeners say otherwise, but I think I'll probably keep it. Ending the episode with the question of what piece of advice would you give to your younger self, Maya, and why?
Oh, I would say just have patience is basically what I would say. And I say that because, like, whether it is, you know, you're finishing up school or you're running a business or, you know, in creative space, whatever it is, mm-hmm. I think that just being able to step back and, you know, revise, look at a bigger picture, or just have patience, even with, like, I don't know, like, I'm sure a lot of people experience like people not understanding what you're doing. Or it's just, oh, why are you running a business? And just like, you know, having patience with the people around you too. And like, you know, really explaining to them, like, this is why I'm doing this or, and so on. And, you know, yeah, I think that's kind of like the big takeaway, because it's like, you know, for example, at my workplace, there's this lady, I don't know how old she is, like 60 or 70 or something, and her business, her clothing business, she's been doing it for 10 years, but it's booming like right now, and she's like she's so much older. So it's like, oh my gosh, so we actually in reality we have so much time to like, you know, grow as a person and also just with whatever you're doing. So, you know, it just goes to show there's literally no time cap on how things are gonna go. So just having patience.
Yeah, it is the classic saying of it is a marathon, not a sprint. And we'll end it off like that. Maya, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. I really do appreciate it. Hopefully you enjoyed it. No worries. Thanks for coming on. Hopefully you enjoyed it, and hopefully the listeners enjoyed it as well. I'm trying to venture into as many different spaces as I can. As I said earlier, I've had, I think, a couple of people here. I think you're our fourth or fifth person when it comes into kind of the fashion world or fashion scene here in Vancouver. So we want to obviously give representation to as many amazing industries and the people that are obviously growing that industry and growing that space and growing that community. So thank you again. And at the end here, thank we you. Do give our guests around 30 seconds. You can take longer than that, but I like to call it the 30-second plug segment. So you can go ahead and plug any socials. Where can people find you, see your work, connect with you, et cetera? This is your moment. Go for it.
Okay. Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram. So at secondlife.apparel, and my website is secondlifeapparel.ca, and there's all the other social media, but
those are the two main ones.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I'll put the links to that as well in the podcast description. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll put it in the YouTube description down below. And thank you again for everyone for tuning in. Again, we are quickly approaching the 60 episode mark here. We're halfway into now 2021. So we maybe will probably get closer to, if we continue on the schedule, which I hope we do, as long as the guests want to be on the show and I find amazing people, which I'm sure there's no shortage of, this podcast will continue growing and will be a great way to see again what's kind of hidden beneath Vancouver. So thank you again, everyone. Once again, my name is Aaron. This was episode number 59 with Maya here, and hopefully have a wonderful rest of your day or evening, and take care, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one. See ya.